Welcome to Riverview Conversations. This is Jason.
And this is Phil. And today we are going to talk about the Sabbath. One of the foundations of our church, you might say.
Yeah, it kind of is in our name.
Seventh-day
Adventists. Interestingly, when the early Adventist church was trying to figure out what to call themselves, they weren't really interested in creating a new denomination, but they had to officially organize in order to protect the publishing ministry that they were doing. And so they had to figure out a name to tie this to. And the things that they were passionate about were Jesus coming again, so Adventist, and like the seventh day is the Sabbath. So Seventh-day Adventist is the name that we inherited from them. And yeah, it's a big deal. Maybe you could read about this.
Yeah, okay. Here's what it says. The gracious Creator, after the 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh day and instituted the Sabbath for all people as a memorial of creation. The fourth commandment of God's unchangeable law requires the observance of this seventh-day Sabbath as a day of rest, worship, and ministry in harmony with the teaching and practice of Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of delightful communion with God and one another. It is a symbol of our redemption in Christ, a sign for our sanctification, a token of our allegiance, and a foretaste of our eternal future in God's kingdom. The Sabbath is God's perpetual sign of his eternal covenant between him and his people. Joyful observance of this holy time from evening to evening, sunset to sunset, is a celebration of God's creative and redemptive acts.
You know, this particular belief in our church has probably caused the most confusion, not confusion, but like dislike is probably the right word, the most dislike of the Seventh-day Adventist Church among Christian denominations. And there's a couple things that are interesting. One of them is its connection to Judaism. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Jews keep the Sabbath, well, you're just doing like what the Jews did when Jesus came and they killed Jesus.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the modern Christian church is very happy with Judaism, even ties it to prophetic events. And there are many Christians that are kind of Sabbath curious.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is about legalism and the idea that we keep the Sabbath as a method or means of salvation. Like we have to keep the Sabbath in order to be saved, kind of an idea. And in that case, that's just legalism.
But in many aspects, we have brought that on ourselves. Because when I was growing up, the Sabbath, my understanding of the Sabbath was different than it is today. Hmm. It was Friday night to Saturday night. If you did anything in between those two times, you're headed downstairs.
You're under condemnation.
Yes. And
so like if you got out your skateboard and started playing on your skateboard, bad news, right? You did the wrong thing.
You would never even think about getting out your skateboard.
Yeah.
You could wade in water up to your ankles. Beyond that was a sin. I'm serious here.
So it seems like you're describing legalism.
Oh, it definitely. And so what do you do when you have those restrictions? It's after lunch, go lay down in your room.
Yeah, take a hike to the springs, bed springs.
Exactly. And although I enjoy that as an older person, being able to spend a few hours in bed in the afternoon, as a child, it was terrible. You can't do anything, can't go on hikes, you can't, you know, It was very restrictive. And
so we've brought on the legalism thing. Does that mean that the Sabbath is legalistic?
I don't believe it is. It says it was created as a memorial of his creation. You know, we're looking back to the wonderful thing that God did in creating this earth and creating us. He's given it to us as a day of rest. Mm-hmm. Studies have shown that animals that work 7 days a week don't fare as well as if you give the animal 1 day a week off.
Mm. You mean like a horse or a cow or whatever?
A horse or a cow, you know, plowing the fields like that.
Ox.
If you work them 7 days a week, productivity drops off dramatically. If you give them 1 day off, their productivity goes way up.
Yeah, it's interesting when we think about evolution suggests that there was no creation, right? So there is no celestial connection between the 7 day week and, you know, our timekeeping mechanism of a week and the stars or the rotation of the earth or whatever, right? There's just no connection. So if you eliminate the Bible and the creation account, then the week doesn't really make sense. Let's just make it 10 days. And, you know, if you give people, 8 days of work and 2 days of rest instead of 5 days of work and 2 days of rest, then you should be able to get more productivity out of them, right? And I think, I forget where it was, Russia or Europe somewhere, they tried that. And people were getting sick and accidents went up and productivity went down. They had to go back to a 7 day week. The cycle, we call it a circadian rhythm. The cycle of seven is built into nature. Not just humans, animals need that space for rest. Mm-hmm. And it's just built into who we are.
Right. Exactly. And mathematically, when they've tried to make a different length week than 7 days, it doesn't mathematically factor into the year.
Oh, fun.
Because, you know, the earth, there are some things that are celestial. The earth travels around the sun in 1 year. Okay. The moon travels around the earth in 1 month. Mm-hmm. But
earth spins in 1 day.
Yeah. The earth spins in 1 day. Yes. There is nothing for that 7 days, like you said, mm-hmm. but if you have any other number besides seven, it doesn't come around properly with the earth rotating around the sun.
Calendar, horology, I guess that's a study of time or whatever. And then the calendar, whatever the study of like the celestial movements and stuff is. That's fascinating stuff. I don't really understand it. When I try to get into it, it's like
I don't understand it. I've read a couple articles and can spew a little bit of facts, but it is exciting.
I really enjoyed the idea of having a 4-week month, 28 days in every month, mm-hmm. instead of 30 or 31. And then I think at the end of the month, you add an extra week or something like that. Or at the end of the year, you add an extra week. And why not just have a week of vacation and then the new year? Like it's the end of December, and then there's like the leap week, and then January 1. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, but what if I don't want to take my vacation on the leap week?
Do something else. I don't care. Anyway, so the thinking about the Sabbath, it's something that's built into our circadian rhythm. It's definitely something that's in the Bible. But we've had this conflict with the Christian church. And if you go back to like the early 150, 180 kind of time frame AD, so this is like within 50 years of John the Revelator dying, mm-hmm. the church is recorded as both keeping the Sabbath and kind of joining with the culture of the Romans in their Sunday festivals, mm-hmm. right? So not idolatry, but just kind of chilling on a Sunday, because the culture was Jews are bad. And so they started to like, they'll keep the Sabbath, but kind of on the down low, and they might gather and have a meal and celebration, you might say, on a Sunday. And so that begins to happen because of the persecution of the Jews and how the Romans thought anybody who keeps the Sabbath is a Jew. And so to avoid that persecution, they kind of kept their Sabbath keeping on the down low. And that wasn't everywhere. That was just in some places that mm-hmm. that happened. Right. And we have some records of that. Before that, there is no record of Sunday keeping. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests a Sunday Sabbath. And there are just for the record of having said it, there are 8 verses in the Bible that talk about the first day of the week in the New Testament, that is. And 4 of them are talking about Jesus' resurrection. And the other 4, actually, there's only 3 more. There's 7 altogether. The fourth one is a different. But the 3 that are in Acts that talk about something on the first day, one of them is Paul preaching on Saturday night, because the day begins in the evening mm-hmm. in the Bible. And so he's preaching on Saturday night till midnight. Eutychus falls out the window. And Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he goes and he takes a 20-mile hike to the ship and boards a ship, assuming, you know, presumably having to pay for it and whatnot. So it's absolutely not a Sabbath.
Right.
And then there's another one where Paul says, take your money and set it aside on the first day of the week. So when I come, and they're like, oh, they're taking an offering. They must be in church on the first day. No, he's just saying the first thing you do in the week before you start your work and before you pay your bills, like set some money aside for Jerusalem because they're going through a famine. When I come, I'll collect that money. And so it's more like set it beside you, like have a little box or a little, you know, sock or something that you stuff some money,
put your money in, yeah.
So that when I come and we gather together, you can bring that money. So that's not a Sabbath situation. And the third one I've forgotten. And then it's like, it's not a worship service, but it's something in the Paul's process of doing missionary work.
Right.
The last one is in Revelation chapter 1, where John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Right.
And that one people say, that's the first day of the week. But the Bible doesn't say it's the first day of the week. If you go by the Bible specifically says that the Sabbath is the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
Jesus says I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and it's the only day that God claimed. Mm-hmm. So if it's the Lord's Day and we're interpreting the Bible by using the Bible, then Revelation 1 is talking about the seventh day Sabbath,
yeah.
not a Sunday. Anyway, so there's lots and lots in the Bible about keeping the Sabbath, the Christians keeping the Sabbath, really nothing until the 150s, 180s, something like that, where we have a record of Christians doing something, gathering or whatever on a Sunday. But then in the 300s, you get Constantine who gets into the mix mm-hmm. and he says, we need to kind of centralize and bring our empire into a peaceful situation. And we have all the people, basically every culture, Greeks and Romans and Egyptians and whatever else, worship a god connected to the sun. And so a sun god or a Sunday worship, it was universal among the pagans, and the Christians were the only ones that were the odd man out. And the Christians over the last 150 years had 160 years, something like that, had been, kind of tiptoeing into the Sunday thing and being like, well, you know, the culture is cool with it. And, you know, we'd rather not, be on the outs and be thought of as Jews and whatnot. And so they'd be doing the Sabbath and then Sunday. And it pretty soon it had gone to like Sabbath is a fast day, you know, day for mourning and fasting and solemnity and stuff. And then Sunday is a day for gathering and celebration. And they had started worshiping on Sunday and whatnot. And so by 330, I think Constantine led the church in organizing a we're going to worship on Sunday. And by like 350 or 60, I forget, the church had another council and they met and they actually banned Sabbath, seventh day Sabbath worship. And so it wasn't until like what, the 1700s or so, that the church didn't really think about this. The Protestant Reformation happened and everybody's like, let's get back to the Bible. And 1500s, the Sabbath kind of comes into the picture in some small ways because the Waldensians had been keeping the Sabbath. The Albigenses had kept the Sabbath. There's people all throughout the North Africa area that kept the Sabbath. Into the recent, I think into the 1500s or something like that, we have records in Ethiopia of Sabbath keeping. So the Sabbath was around during the time of Luther, but it wasn't like the big focus.
Right.
Then the 1600s come and you get the beginnings of the Baptist church, and the 1700s come around, the Methodist church comes into the picture. Some of these churches are like back to the Bible kind of mindset, and they're willing to do all kinds of interesting things. They're very innovative. And some Baptists, they started keeping the seventh day as a Sabbath. And so today we know them as the Seventh-day Baptist. And it's early 1800s, the Adventist church comes into the picture. While like these truths are kind of being discovered from the Bible and re-uncovered, and the Seventh-day Adventist church is like, hey, if it's in the Bible, we want to follow it. And there it is. The Sabbath is the seventh day. So we get this story kind of coming back to the Bible through the Protestant Reformation. But many at that time, especially as the Adventists, the Seventh-day Baptists and then the Seventh-day Adventists were promulgating this idea about the Sabbath, we put out papers and we did like debates and all this stuff. And the churches were like, we don't really like that. And we think that Sunday is cool. And so they shifted from Sunday is Sabbath to Sunday is the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, because Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day.
You know, it's interesting when you go back to the beginning. If you want a person to change their ideas and change how they do things, the last thing you do is go in and say, you're going to do it this way. And just say, this is how it's going to be done from now on. Mm-hmm. What you do is you give them a little nudge in that direction. I mean, you see this happen in governments, our government. They want to change how people do things. They don't do it all at once. They just give them a little nudge. And this is what Satan has done for the Sunday. He just slowly just nudging people until now it's accepted.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it was so widely accepted in the church that by the 330s, the majority of the church, now obviously there was lots of churches that rejected the majority's, opinion. But the majority of the church was like, hey, Sunday's cool. Let's do that instead of what the Bible says. And in fact, today the church, we'll specifically call it the Catholic Church, but, The church in general has looked back at that time in the 300s as essentially a pivotal moment where the church did something to change the culture and practice of the church, and therefore the church has authority to make that change. Since they did make that change, it must have the authority to make that change.
Right.
And even though the Protestants don't really think of that as an indication of the church's authority to above the Bible, the Catholics would very much say, look, this is evidence that we have authority over the Bible. And so in the Protestant idea is sola scriptura. The Catholic idea is the scripture and tradition.
And tradition, yes.
And the scripture is interpreted through tradition. So the fact that the tradition exists, well, that's what we interpret scripture through. And even though Protestants would reject that church tradition as the authority in accepting Sunday as a Sabbath or Sunday as the day of worship, they're accepting church tradition over the Bible. So it's an implicit acceptance of church tradition, even if like theologically, we would reject that idea. So modern Christians are thinking about the kind of the rejection, like how do we justify ourselves essentially? How do we justify what we do, what our practice is? We don't want to be like those Adventists.
Yeah.
and we don't want to be like the Jews. So this is 1800s and they're coming up with arguments against the Seventh-day Sabbath. And there really is no argument against the Seventh-day Sabbath. It's unbiblical. Anything other than that is unbiblical. But we land with kind of two things. One, that's like the Jews. It's keeping, a legalistic kind of a thing. And then on the other side of it, it's the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but biblically, what do we do to celebrate the resurrection?
Baptism.
There you go. Yes, baptism. It was coming.
It took me a little while there.
Yeah, the Bible says baptism is a celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so every time we baptize somebody, and wouldn't it be great if it was every week, we're celebrating the Lord's resurrection.
Yeah.
But the Sabbath isn't a celebration of the resurrection. It has never been tied to the resurrection in the Bible. But it has been tied to creation. So Genesis, God makes the earth in six mm-hmm. days, and the seventh day he rests. And Genesis 2 says that he took a break and he blessed and hallowed that day. And that blessed is like, this is special. And hallowed means like set apart as separate and different. So God is holy or hallowed. God mm-hmm. is holy. That means that he is above and beyond everything else. If the Sabbath is made holy or hallowed, then that means it is above and separate than the rest right. of the week. So day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, all the same, work those days, but the seventh is holy, different, mm-hmm. right? So then you get to Exodus and God's like, hey, remember, because he's pointing back to Genesis, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, mm-hmm. sixth, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, there's no doubt in anybody's mind. Let me say that differently. I'm sure somebody has a doubt, but there's no doubt in the majority of the world what day the Sabbath is. Like, what is Saturday in Spanish?
Sabado.
Sabado. And you can take that into Italian, into Greek, into like the most European languages, Russian and Ukrainian, pretty much, I mean, all through South America, almost everywhere in the world, even in, I think, China and other places, almost everywhere in the world, the seventh day is tied to the concept of Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, oh, the calendar has changed. No, it hasn't. Yes, there was a shift in the calendar of 15 days, but it went from a Wednesday, fourth or something like that. And then 10 days were added to the calendar. And so it becomes Thursday, the 15th. The numbers changed. The days never did. The cycle of seven has always been persistent. And the Jews have been really careful to keep it. So, you know, they're persnickety about things like that.
Yeah.
So just go find what the Jews are doing and you're probably going to be safe. So it's not about like, do we know which day it is? Yeah. Saturday is a Sabbath. And it's not about whether this is uncertain biblically. Theologically, it's the only sound thing to do. I think that the challenge that we come with when it comes to Sabbath is a heart challenge. Why do we keep the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point here? Like, and I think we can be like you described your childhood being. We can be legalistic in it, and our reason can be, oh, so that God doesn't condemn me. But what's the ideal? What's the design for this Sabbath?
And the Jews were very much like that. I mean, they wanted to keep the Sabbath, and they had all these rules on how to do it. And we didn't have all those rules as a child, but we had enough of them that it made it a burden.
Yeah.
You know, and instead of Friday nights here, what a blessing. It was Friday nights here, oh boy, next 24 hours are going to be tough.
I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that.
Can't do this, can't do this. Yeah. And when you tried to explain it to somebody, it did come across as a negative. Well, we can't, you know, can't do this, can't do that. Well, that doesn't sound very appealing.
And I think that the Christian church is right to reject that. Not just like that Seventh-day Adventists shouldn't have that mindset, but when the church in general looks at the idea of Sabbath, it should reject that legalistic mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we should reject the Sabbath. It just means that we should reject that mindset. Think about a few things. Like when Adam and Eve were created, what's the first thing that they, you know, basically what's the first thing that they did?
They had Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah. And what ends up happening is Adam is created and he has no part in creating Eve.
Right.
He rests. He's put to sleep while Eve is being created. So Adam is created. He doesn't know how all this stuff got here except that God made it. And then he goes to sleep and then he wakes up and there's Eve. He doesn't know how she was created except God made her. And then the first thing, like, it seems like that's the evening time. And I know there was this moment where the Bible talks about Adam naming the animals. And so there's a work that he does, but he doesn't mm-hmm. create anything. All he does is describe it, you know?
Right.
That's the best
right.
he can do. And so Adam doesn't create, Eve doesn't create, and they begin to rest right then.
Yeah.
So the first act of humanity is to not act. It's to rest in what God has already done.
Mm, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So Sabbath is the absolute antithesis of legalism. Sabbath is resting in God, which is what faith is. This is what, we are saved by God's grace, his action, through faith, our resting in him. If we don't rest in him, we can't be saved, right? Because if we're not resting in him, then by definition, we're doing the work ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves, right? That's right. Legalism. So resting is the opposite of legalism. Keeping the Sabbath is the opposite of legalism. One more point. You get to the Israelites in Egypt, and on the way out, or as God is trying to get them out of Egypt, how much of the work of getting them out do the Israelites do?
Absolutely none.
He sends the 10 plagues. Mm-hmm. He parts the Red Sea. He destroys the army, right? He provides yep. the manna and the water. Like, God is the one that redeemed them. He's the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt, right. out of the house of bondage. And so in Deuteronomy, when the law is repeated again, that's what Deuteronomy means, the second reading of the law. So it repeats the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, I think. And instead of saying, for in 6 days the Lord created heaven and the earth, it says, because God led you out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Like, keep the Sabbath because God redeemed you. In Ezekiel, we're told that the Sabbath is the sign that I am the God who sanctifies you. Now, Christians have always thought of justification, I shouldn't say always, but generally, have thought of justification as the God making you right, righteous, you know, just as if you'd never sinned. And sanctification is the process of God making you like Jesus, mm-hmm. so that we become more like him. And the Sabbath is the sign that, how does sanctification work? Who makes us like God?
Well, it's not me.
God does, right?
God does,
so the Sabbath is the sign that God is the one who sanctifies us. So God created us, we rest. He made us. God redeemed us, we rest. He saves us. God transforms us, we rest, right? Mm. So the Sabbath is a sign that of our existence. It's a sign of our salvation. It's a sign of our sanctification. And you could even point to the Sabbath as a sign of God's final glorification, that there is going to be a time when we, through God's grace alone, are transformed into his glory at Jesus' second coming.
Yeah.
And while the Bible doesn't say much about Sabbath in the context of the second coming and heaven, in Isaiah we're told that on the new earth, that we're going to, from every Sabbath, we're going to meet in the temple and we're going to worship.
Okay, let's bring this to be a more practical. Someone came up to me the other day and said, someone asked me, why do we keep the Sabbath? Mm-hmm. And they were a little confused on how to tell them why we keep the Sabbath.
Well, I think that this is really the heart thing that I was talking about. One of the reasons that Christians have rejected the Sabbath is because they don't like the legalism connected to it. And I think one of the suggestions that I'm making is that the reason to keep Sabbath is because God is creator, redeemer, sanctifier, and glorifier, right? It is that resting in God.
Right.
And every week having a reminder of, it is God. God's got this.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of it. But what did your friend tell me about that story?
This person, they said, I didn't know what to say. So I just said, God created the Sabbath at the very beginning. He rested on the seventh day. And then they went on. I can't remember all how they explained it. I thought it was okay. I mean, it may not have been the perfect explanation, but it was
pretty good on the spot.
Pretty good on the spot. I think that part of our problem is when we get put on the spot, we don't know what to say. You know, and it comes out of the blue. You know, somebody asking us why do you keep the Sabbath?
Well, how about this? Maybe I could suggest a couple points. Number one, I keep the Sabbath because I follow Jesus. Mm. Jesus kept the Sabbath, right? Number two, I follow Jesus because Jesus saved me. I mean, I keep the Sabbath because Jesus saved me. And then you could add number three, I keep the Sabbath because God gave the Sabbath rest to me as a gift.
Okay. That will probably do it. I do have one other thing that I would like to bring up. You know, we are told in the end of time there will be a Sunday law.
Okay, yeah.
Where we will...
Let's just nail that down really quick. That's Revelation chapter 13, and it describes the beast at the end of time, the second beast, making an idol to the first beast in Revelation 13, and causing all, both small and great, to worship the beast and the image that it had set up, and then it describes economic sanctions, and then finally death. So it is a law about worship, and it's connected. I mean, it has a financial and then like ultimately a death decree connected to disobedience of that law. So the way that we have interpreted that as the Seventh-day Adventist Church is connected to the Sabbath, because the Revelation 14 describes people that follow the Lamb wherever he goes, right? And the first thing that is like the message that this group of 144,000 share, don't worry about the number, that's a different subject. the first thing this group shares, it's like the message that's pictured as an angel flying in the middle of heaven so everybody can see it and hear it, and with a loud voice saying, fear God, give glory to his name. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him. And this is where the worship part comes in, who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And that is language that is like copy and paste from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, talking about the Sabbath.
Okay.
And so we find that the Sabbath message is tied to this people that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And so it's opposite the beast creating a law about worship that's contrary to and instead of God's law. Our thinking is that there's going to be some law about worship related to Sunday.
I bring that up because I'm going to throw something in here on you. What do you think about a Sabbath law?
bad.
That's the way it struck me. There is a country in Africa, I think it's Zimbabwe, that has just passed a law saying that Sabbath is a day of rest. Shops are to close. And I read that and I thought, oh boy.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's say that we make a civil law that requires obedience to God's law. Let's call it thou shalt not murder. Is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let's call it thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a bad thing?
No.
Gets a little closer to the heart a little bit. Strikes at some freedoms, right? Some freedom of conscience. Now, thou shalt worship in this way. Right. Suddenly you've moved from social behavior to conscience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the problem is. So if you say that we're going to have a national day where shops are closed and it's going to be Saturday, fine. If you say that we're going to have a national day of worship, shops are closed and you've got to go to church on Saturday, then what we've done is we have removed an individual's power to choose. And it is in our own choice that we worship. Like, we cannot be forced to worship.
Okay.
I mean, you right. can be forced to worship, but like, the worship is a heart posture, not a physical posture. You can be forced to put your face to the ground. You can be forced to be in a specific space or not be in a specific space. But what you can't be forced to do is worship. And Sabbath is about worship. It's about God is my maker, God is my creator, God is my redeemer. You know, God is my soon coming king.
Yeah.
Sabbath, that's worship. So Sabbath is the embodiment in place and time of worship. And if you create a law about Sabbath, then you've just tried to force conscience. And I think that is fundamentally against the principles of the gospel. So no, I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't know the full extent of this law, but I did hear that it was passed.
That's fascinating.
And I thought, boy.
There are some people that are like, the United States is going to be part of this like end time story and going to force people to worship. And mm-hmm. And so wouldn't it be great if a Seventh-day Adventist were president and we could prevent that from happening, maybe make a Sabbath law. And my response is no. Like, every church that has had political power has used mm-hmm. it to control the conscience of others by yeah. force. And that is absolutely opposed. That is Satan's mindset, Satan's kingdom. And it yeah. doesn't matter what day you're forcing. It doesn't matter what religion you're forcing. I mean, if a Hindu was in charge and it was Hindu worship that we were forcing, all the Christians would rise up. If it was a Christian in charge and we were forcing the Christian worship, all the Christians would say, praise the Lord. And they would be absolutely wrong because they would be embodying the government and mindset of Satan.
And the other problem I see with this is, okay, we get an Adventist as president who's going to stop all these things. Are you not delaying the coming of Christ?
Why wait, right?
Why wait?
Come, Lord Jesus, come. Yes. No, I think that the when others look in on the Seventh-day Adventist theology and see the Sabbath, legalism and end-time events are the two things that pique their interest. And mm-hmm. and I want to say emphatically, the Sabbath is not legalism any more than reading the Bible is legalism. The Sabbath is time with God. Reading the Bible is knowing the heart of God, right?
Right.
We need
right.
both. And a little practical, just FYI, as we say time with God, it is time to worship. It is time to rest. Please take a nap if you want to. That's a great time mm-hmm. to do that. It is time to be with family and to value relationships that God values.
Right.
It's time to be in nature, what God created, you know, and enjoy what God made. And I think it's also time to serve. We can serve in other ways during the week, but on Sabbath, hey, we've got the time. Let's go and visit somebody. Let's do things that lift up our brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. right? So it's not legalistic. It is absolutely worship for God, time and space with God. And then I got distracted. What was I talking about? I was saying about the others looking in and they see legalism and then they see this end time events and that piques their interest. And I think if you don't think that the Sabbath thing at the end of time makes sense to you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater quite yet. It is incomprehensible that end time events would be about anything besides worship. Mm-hmm. When God wraps this up, it's going to be about the worship of God or the worship of anything else.
Right.
And it's going to be a big deal. Like the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out again, like the early rain at the Pentecost time frame. Amazing things were happening during that time. Thousands came to know the Lord in a day, right? It was a big deal.
Right.
It's going to be like that. And there is going to be a polarization, those who follow God and those who say, no, thank you. I've got other plans, other agendas, whatever. And, that's a discussion for another time as far as like all the end time events. But if we're talking about worship and specifically the Sabbath being central to the resting in God's grace, then how could it not be part of the story of an end time polarized worship issue, right? How could it not be? So, don't throw the whole thing out just because that sounds weird. Maybe we've got a reason for saying it, right? Maybe there's a reason why that study has led to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And it's not just because we think Sabbath is cool.
Well, Jason, we could probably go on and on and on. This is a topic that is rich and endless.
Well, it comes back every week.
It does.
Okay, let me just say something as we wrap up. If you grew up like Phil, I'm speaking to our listeners. If you grew up like Phil did, and you're struggling with Sabbath as a requirement for God to like you, and that if you do something that you've perceived as being wrong on the Sabbath, that God then condemns you, then please. Let's have a conversation.
Yes.
This is not how God relates to the world. He created the Sabbath as a space and a time because he loves us. Jesus made it clear that man was not made for Sabbath keeping, but the Sabbath was made for the benefit of mankind.
Right.
So God gave us a gift. So if you've got that perspective, please look again. This is much more beautiful than you can imagine. Oh,
definitely.
And then if you're on the opposite spectrum and you're just like, okay, Sabbath, whatever, like, please know, like, this is something that is, it's tickling the brains of scientists and making many Christians curious. There are whole churches that are saying, maybe we've got Sunday wrong. Florida, there was a church, I think Church of God or something. It was like, we think this Saturday is the Sabbath. Let's do that. Not connected to our church at all, but they just saw it in the Bible. I know a pastor here in Tri-Cities who he keeps a seventh-day Sabbath, and he preaches on Sunday, and he tells me that his church wouldn't really go for a Saturday Sabbath, and so he's not preaching it to them. But he personally believes it because it's in the Bible. And I think this is, it's something that's just going everywhere. Read a book about the disciplines, you're going to find Sabbath in there. Eugene Peterson, who wrote a paraphrase Bible that's really popular, The Message, he kept a Sabbath. He chose to keep a Monday Sabbath. And I think a lot of people are like, it doesn't matter which day. But if this is something that people are starting to realize again, hey, we need to go back to the Bible. Let's just go all the way back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's just let the Bible be our guide and follow Jesus.
And the world is seeing that Saturday is the Sabbath more and more and more. Mm-hmm. The world is turning back and taking a look at the seventh day Sabbath. And it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having this conversation.
Hey, it's been a good one. See you next week.